of his head. The people of Israel had been smitten before David and his servants. 20,000 people had died that day, most of which died from different things that happened to them in the woods where they were having this battle. You see that in verse 8. And then Absalom comes riding along on a mule. And this mule that he's riding on goes under the thick boughs of a great oak, it says in verse 9. And when this happened, his head got caught hold in the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. We talked about how the reason why he got caught up in this oak was because he had such long hair. Earlier on in a study, we saw that only once a year would he cut his hair. And if a person doesn't cut their hair but one time a year and they have normal hair growth, then by the end of the year, obviously, they're going to have a very full, long, thick head of hair. And that's the way it was with Absalom. So he's got this such a big, thick head of hair that when he goes into that oak, it gets all caught up in the oak, and he's hanging there by the hair of his head. And this mule that he's walking under doesn't care a bit. He just keeps on walking and leaves him hanging there. And I heard a guy named Lee Robertson. Y'all heard him? Or I'm sorry, Lester Roloff preached a couple of different sermons from this verse right here. One of them was titled, And the Mule Walked On. And another one he preached was, The Day the Lord Hung the Hippie. Can't say that too much today because that's not politically correct, you know, but who gives a fat rat as far as I'm concerned? I'm going to say it, and if it hair lips the devil, okay? I don't care. But anyhow, he preached from this text a couple of sermons, and it's, you know, you don't want to stretch it too far, but it is a good illustration of why, as the Bible says, that a man shouldn't have long hair. That long hair can cause you some trouble, okay? Of course, the greatest reason for a man not to have long hair is because God don't want him to. I mean, that ought to be the end of the argument, amen? It doesn't matter whether we like it or we don't like it, or we agree with it or we don't agree with it. When God says something, it really not up for discussion. And you say, I don't like it. Well, I don't care, and God don't care. If the Lord says this is how it ought to be, then that ought to be your perspective on it too. Just accept it, and okay, and that's how it is. And the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I don't understand all of that. You know, I don't know the reasoning behind. The only one thing that I do know is God is a God of distinction. I do know that. And the primary reason why he doesn't want a man to have long hair is because he doesn't want a man to look like a woman. That's the main reason, you understand. He doesn't want a man to look like a woman. When somebody looks at a man, they ought to be able to tell that he's a man. They ought not to be walking behind somebody and looking at them and wondering, well, is that a man or a woman? Y'all have seen that before, haven't you? I've seen people walking along, and from behind, I thought it was a woman. Honest to God, I thought it was a woman. I get up there, and it was a man. Sometimes it doesn't matter if you're looking from the front or behind. You can't tell what they are. You know, you just... I have actually, you know, us, me and my family riding along, see something, I'll say, what was that? I mean, really, I don't know what it was. To this day, I have no clue what it was. I think it was a human being. I think it was. But that could be up for discussion. I don't know. But the main reason that God doesn't want a man to have long hair is because he wants a man to look like a man. Now, you flip that coin over. The main reason why he says in the Bible that it is a glory for a woman to have long hair is because he wants a woman to look like a woman. You understand that? It's not real hard when you get to thinking about it. God is a God of distinction. He created a male and female, didn't he? Man and woman. And he wants a man to look like a man in his hair and in the way he dresses. He wants a woman to look like a woman in her hair and in the way she dresses. That's what God expects. It's real simple. And people like to fuss and argue and throw all this other stuff in there. And it's just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just people trying to find some loophole in what God says. It's just trying to find some excuse, some reasoning to get what they already want in their heart. That's what that is. And what should be in our lives is, okay, this is what God says. That ought to be end of discussion right there. No more discussion about it. This is what God says, what he expects out of me, and that's the way it ought to be. So that's the main reasoning in all that, but you can see here from this story that when things are not as God wants them to be, then it can present problems. Oftentimes, the reason why things get out of hand or things work out a certain way or people wind up in certain messes that they get in is because they don't do things the way God intends for them to be. Now, you think about this situation here with Absalom. Had he had a normal head of hair instead of too much hair, it's very likely he'd have walked right, this mule would have walked right through there and he kept on going. He'd have never got hung up in there, right? The fact that he didn't have his head the way God intended for it to be, it cost him. How much did it cost him? Well, let's read on and we'll find out. Verse number 10. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." And Joab said unto the man that told him, "And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground?" Why didn't you kill him right there? Just take him out. You saw him hanging in that oak, you didn't do nothing. Why didn't you kill him? Joab goes on and says, "I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. I'd have given you some money and some new duds. I'd have fixed you up. Had you done that?" Look at the next verse. And the man said unto Joab, "Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son." Joab said, "I'd have gave you 10 shekels. He said, "I wouldn't care if you give me 1,000. I ain't fixing to touch him. That's the king's son. And why would he hold back? Why would he be so adamant that he wouldn't fool with the king's son?" Well, look at the rest of that verse. He says, "For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom." Remember we studied about that this morning? Look back. Verse 5 in this chapter, "And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." Here, "and all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom." So everybody that was there heard what the king said. And that's why this guy says what he does. He says, "Look, I heard what the king said. I heard what the king said to you and to these other two guys. And that's why I'm not going to touch him. That's why I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to have anything to do with him. I'm not going to put my hand on him." He says, verse 13, "Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life." Saying, "I'd have got myself in trouble, put my life in danger if I touched him. For there is no matter hid from the king." He said, "Look, if I'd have done it, the king would have found out about it. And I'd have been in trouble." And he says, "And thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me." He says, "The king found out about it, then he'd have told you how to deal with me and you to come against me." This guy's, he's handling this situation the right way with wisdom. He's doing what his king said was to be done, right? Now you got Joab, who's one of the leaders that David put over 1/3 of his men, and Joab as a leader was told specifically by his king, "Deal gently with the young man for my sake." What's Joab wanting to do? He won't kill him. Now that shows you that Joab wasn't everything he needed to be. Okay? Because had he been what he needed to be in his heart, then he would have heard what his king said and he would have obeyed what his king said. He wouldn't have he would have done it whether he agreed with it or liked it or not. He'd have just done it because that's what the king wanted. You understand that principle? It's back to what we were just talking about the hair deal. You just do it because that's what the king wants. Y'all following what I'm saying? Why obey the Bible? Why do these things that God says in the Bible? Why do you refrain from doing certain things? Because that's what the king said. The one that wrote this book, the king. That's what he said. That's why you do it. And again, it doesn't matter if you understand it or you don't. Listen, there will always be stuff the Lord expects out of us that you don't understand. There will always be. Always be something that God wants you to do or doesn't want you to do, and you're not going to understand it. But God doesn't ask me to understand everything he says. You know what he tells me to do? To obey what he says. And part of living a life of faith, part of walking by faith, and isn't that what the Bible says we're to do in this dispensation? We walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay. Part of living a life of faith is me doing what God expects me to do, whether I understand it or not. See, if I understood everything, that wouldn't really require any faith on my part. Part of this life of faith is what you see evidenced in the lives of many of God's people in the Bible. Like, for example, you get over to Hebrews chapter 11 and you start coming down through that hall of faith over there, and it talks about all those people that did this by faith and did this by faith and did this by faith. And you look at some of those people and what God told them to do. He gave them specific instructions and commandments, told them, this is what I want you to do. And they did not understand it. They did not know exactly why God wanted them to do it. He even told some of them to go certain places and didn't fully explain where he wanted them to go. He just said, leave your family and go. Isn't that what he did to Abraham? He said, leave your family and go to a place that I will show you. He didn't say, you wait here and let me give you a full map and explain exactly where you're going to go and where you're going to wind up. He said, you just pick up and you get going and I'll show you the rest of it later on. You know what that is? That requires faith, see. Now, Abraham didn't have all the answers. But you know what he did? The Bible says he obeyed. He did what God told him. And that's a life of faith. That's what God expects. The king says, you don't do this. Well, I don't understand that, Lord. It doesn't matter. Just do it. God says, do this. I don't understand that, Lord. Doesn't matter. Just do it. Why do you do it? Because that's what he said. You leave all that other stuff up to God. You just do what he says. And Joab should have heard what his king said. He did hear it. But he should have heard it, really heard it, and said, okay, I want Absalom to die. I think he's a no good for nothing, and he's betrayed his daddy. He's just been sorry, and I think he ought to die. But listen, my king said don't hurt him, and that's what I'm going to do. That should have been his perspective, but it wasn't. He gets mad at this fella because he didn't kill him. He gets upset because this guy didn't take care of him. And look at this. Verse 14. After this guy gets through explaining why he didn't do anything, or in the process, Joab said, I may not tarry thus with thee. Look, he's saying, I can't keep standing around here talking with you. I got something I got to take care of. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. So what did that long hair cost him? It cost him his life. Because he didn't have his head like God said for it to be, it cost him his life. You know, not doing things the way God says it ought to be done can cost you and cost you dearly. It could cost you your life. Could. Been many a person that died because they didn't do what their king told them to do. Because they had things in their life that wasn't the way God expected it to be, what God said he wanted. What you see here is that Joab leaves this guy talking and goes right away. And he stabs Absalom through the heart with three darts while he's hanging there in the oak. Now, what do you think David would have wanted him to do after what David said? David would have wanted him to go there and get him down, wouldn't he? Get him out of the oak, bring him back to David, and let David deal with that situation. That's what the king intended to happen. Joab obviously did not care. He heard what the king said. He just blew it off. I am 100% convinced that when he heard what David said, that it went in one ear and out the other. Joab done made up his mind, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to take him out. And just as soon as he got his opportunity, saw that door of opportunity, he wasted no time. He did not hesitate. He went right away and killed Absalom. He done made up his mind. He didn't care what the king said. Man, that's good preaching. I cannot tell you the times through the years where I've seen that demonstrated in the life of believers. You talk to them. You show them what the king says in the Bible. This is what the king expects. And you know what they do? They just go right on down life road and they do just the opposite of what the king says. You know what it is? They've just made up their mind. Just going to do it. I don't care what the king says. I've made up my mind. And it's hard to imagine that people would do that, but they do it. They do it. They just go do what they want to. And it don't matter to them what the king says. I've seen people do it, and it seemed there was no remorse whatsoever. I don't believe Joab felt bad at all about what he did here. I don't think he felt sad or grieved that he had disobeyed his king. He was happy that he was able to do what he had already made up his mind to do. It's like I've told y'all many times before when people have come to me for counsel. And I never have figured this out all the way. But people have come to you sometime, you know, Brother Keith, I need to meet with you, I need to talk with you, and they ask you this question, what do you think about this, how should I do this? And you just show them something in the Bible. You don't give them your opinion necessarily, you just show them something in the Bible and say, okay, this is what God expects you to do in that situation right there. Sometimes they'll just get mad with you. You know what I mean? They come to you for advice. And they ask you to give them advice, tell them what God says you do, and then they get mad, swell up like a possum. I'm telling you, just walk off mad and all blowed up like a hot air balloon. All I did was do what they asked me to do. They wanted some advice. I gave it to them. But more times than not, what I've seen is you'll tell them, look, this is what God expects, and they'll go do just the opposite of what you tell them. You know what that is? They already had their mind made up. I don't understand necessarily why they come, other than maybe it's like I've said before, they're just hoping to find somebody that will agree with what they've already decided. But the thing is, if you're going to go on and do it anyway, what does it matter if somebody agrees with you or not? If you done made up your mind and you're just going to do what you want to, what does it matter if I agree with you or anybody agrees with you? Because listen to me, at the end of the day, you're not going to answer to me. You're going to answer to your king. Reckon how you're going to explain that when you're standing there before your king. He says, isn't this what I said in my word? Well, yes, that's what you said in your word. How come you didn't do what I said in my word? What you going to say then? Well, for like most good Baptists, we'll try to come up with every excuse in the book to justify what we've done. But I'm going to tell you, really what's going to happen is you're probably going to keep your mouth shut and hang your head in shame is what you're going to do. Because he's going to do the talking then. Absalom heard what his king said. He didn't care. He just went on and did what he wanted. He wanted to kill Absalom, and he did it. Verse 15 says, and 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. I mean, they just working the dude over. Just the opposite of what David wanted. Now, Joab shouldn't have stuck him with those three darts. Then when he seen those young men that bare his armor, so they're his servants really, doing this, he should have said, whoa, don't do that. He didn't. Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. For Joab held back the people. Once he had Absalom, he was satisfied. He didn't, He didn't want the people to go on and hurt the rest of the people of Israel. So he blows a trumpet, gets them to stop. Verse 17, you see the great disrespect that they show toward the king's son. They took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. You think that's what David wanted for his son? No. David didn't want him dead to start with, but he certainly didn't want him treated that way. Just thrown off in a ditch out in the woods and a bunch of stones piled up on him. That's not what he wanted. But you notice there at the end of that verse, it says all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Reckon why they was running. Don't forget now, verse 5. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. You know why they're running? Because they heard what David said, and they know that what's happened here is not what the king wanted. So they're trying to get home. They're running, trying to get back to the house, because they know that when David finds out, he's not going to be happy about this at all. So they take off. Verse 18. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, and in his time on earth, had taken and reared up for himself. Now he did this for himself. You see that? Reared up for himself. And as I look at Absalom's life, as it's recorded in the Bible, I see that that's basically the way he lived the whole time he was on earth. He just lived for himself. It was all about Absalom. I mean, why did he rise up and try to take the throne? Because that's what Absalom wanted, see. Just all about him and what he wanted. But in his lifetime, he had taken and reared up for himself a pillar. Now, I don't know if this was a statue of some kind or just a pillar there. I don't know if it had some kind of image carved into it or something like that. I don't know, but it was some kind of pillar. And it was in the king's dale. A dale is an open valley. For he said, Absalom said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Now, here's one of those situations where some people would try to say that there is a contradiction in the Bible. Well, as Absalom says here, he said at a previous occasion, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. I don't have any sons. All right, we'll go back to chapter 14 now. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And look at verse 27. And unto Absalom were born three sons and one daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. Well, the Bible says there that he had three sons. But Absalom says, I'm going to rear up a pillar for myself because I don't have a son. So some people that are, you know, critics of the Bible and just trying to look through the Bible and find something wrong with the Bible, an error, a contradiction, that kind of thing. They find a place like this and they say, well, look there, the Bible contradicts. One place it says he had three sons, one place says he didn't have a son. Now, how do you explain something like that? Well, if you are an infidel, an unbeliever of the Scripture, then you just write it off as the Bible's got a mistake in it. But if you are a true Bible believer, then you believe that the Bible is right all the time and it has no mistakes and no contradictions, right? That's what you believe. And anytime you come to a passage like this in the Scripture, and by the way, let's be honest about it, there's a whole lot of places like this in the Bible. Person that won't admit that's not being honest with you. There's a whole lot of places in the Bible where there appears to be a contradiction. And again, if you're just looking for a loophole, then your answer would be, well, that's just a contradiction in the Bible. But if you are a real Bible believer, here's what your mindset would be. Your mindset would be, God, I know that your book is 100% perfect. There's no contradiction. There's no error. There's no problem anywhere in it. And so I know this isn't a contradiction. It's just something that I don't understand at this point in my life. That's how a Bible believer approaches the Bible. So how do you explain where it says in one place he had three sons and then he says, I have no son? That's one answer. That's another answer right there. See how simple that was? I mean, really. You know, I've told y'all this a million times before, and it's just something you have to keep hammering today. It's just using good, old-fashioned, common sense in your approach to the Bible. Don't let somebody else do your thinking for you all the time. Don't just listen to somebody and what they say and just, oh, okay, that's right. I used to see that stuff all the time when I was in school, when I was in Bible college. You said stuff all the time. And it just amazed me. It's like these students, they go into these classrooms and they sit down there under this guy who's, you know, he's got a doctorate degree and all this stuff and he's accredited. And he starts saying all this stuff and he's contradicting what the Bible says. And people are just sitting out there with their mouths gaped open, their eyes big as 50-cent pieces. They're like, ooh, and an ah, you know, this great mind here is just telling us all this wonderful stuff, and he's just contradicting the Bible one after the other. They're just listening to this guy and let that man do all of their thinking and putting all this stuff in their mind. They go out thinking all this stuff about the Bible is not true. I was in one particular class one time, and the professor came in, and I to this day, evidently somebody asked him a question before we got into class, because he started out the class by talking about something that had absolutely nothing to do with the lesson that we were going to go over that day. And 99.9% of the time, believe it or not, I kept my mouth shut. I really did. I just sat there and kept my mouth shut. But that day he said something that was so blatantly wrong and contradictory to the scripture that I thought, you know, I think I might need to say something. But I didn't want to be disrespectful, because he was my teacher and he was my elder. So I just raised my hand. He called on me and I said, this I handled. I said, well, what about, and I quoted a verse or gave a reference in scripture, what about where the Bible says in this verse? And he said, what does the Bible say there? And I just read it out loud, the whole class. That's all I did. I just read it out loud, the whole class. And he could not say a word, because what I read in the Bible went completely against what that man had just said in front of that whole class. And it showed him to be wrong. And what was amazing to me is when I said, what about so-and-so, and I read the verse, everybody in the whole class, their head looked right at me. I read the verse, and then they just all looked right back at him, just like that. You know, like, what you going to say? And he hem-hawed around with something there, and what I could not believe it. He said two or three little things that did not explain anything. He just kind of dodged it and went on to something else. And just like that, everybody in the class completely ignored what the scripture said, and they went right back to what that man said, like he was the authority on everything. And that stuff happened all the time down there. Just letting somebody else do your thinking for you. Use some common sense. Think for yourself. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Ask God to give you understanding when you come across the text and you don't understand it and it appears there might be a contradiction. Just say, Lord, I know this isn't a contradiction. The fault lies with me and my lack of understanding. Please show me the truth about this. And just approach it from that perspective with common sense. And God can show you an answer to these things very simply. Both of those things. Did y'all hear what they said? Okay. Brother Gene did not hear. Can you say what you said again? Hear that? Could have died young. What did you say? That's right. Those are two very viable answers, right? Very simple. There's an easy way to explain it. It could be that it happened before he ever had any children. That's when he did that. And it could be that, as Brother Jimmy said, they died in their youth, and he did this later on when he didn't have any children left. Very simple. But the thing that you want to look at here in the verse, just some good application, is what Absalom's perspective was. His perspective on life was me. Just, you know, I'm going to do this for me. He reared this up for himself. He lived in such a way that it was all about him, and he wanted to be sure when he was dead and gone that people thought about him and remembered him and idolized him, and just all about Absalom. And isn't that kind of how you see people live today? Just about them. That's why people will name buildings after themselves, name properties after themselves. See this kind of stuff all the time. They're raising up pillars for themselves so that when they're gone, people remember them and think about them and brag on them and that kind of thing. Good thing to think about as you live your lifetime. Isn't that what it said about him in his lifetime? Every one of us will have a lifetime, right? I don't know how long yours will be. I don't know how long mine will be, but we're all going to have a lifetime. We had a start. We're going to have a finish somewhere. Have a lifetime. In your lifetime, you are either going to live for you and do things to promote you, or in your lifetime, you're going to live for Jesus Christ and do things to glorify him. Who determines? You determine that. You'll either live for you or you'll live for him. And I just believe that as saved people, what we should want to do constantly and continually throughout our lives on this earth is not promote ourselves, but promote the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if a single person remembers me when I'm gone. Does it? Saw a thing one time that says, if you meet me and you forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus Christ and forget him, you've lost everything. It doesn't matter if you remember me 1 second after I'm gone. What matters is people remembering him. And I, in my lifetime, should devote myself to exalting Jesus Christ, to just raising him up as high as I possibly can, to where people don't look at me, people look at him. I shouldn't desire any glory for myself, all the glory for him. That's the way my life should be lived as a Christian. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. Amen? All about him. And every step of the way, everything that I do, and I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that's how it ought to be. Every step of the way on my journey throughout my lifetime, just doing things to promote Jesus Christ, to lift him up so that people will turn to him. That's the way I should live. We're going to stop here. Any questions about what we looked at tonight? Any questions? I passed. I did good.